The Lord so graciously gave us a commandment in the last days in Ephesians, and he said, redeeming the time, redeeming the time, taking it back, claiming it, counting it as your greatest treasure. One of the first steps into redeeming the time is to slow down. You have never, ever made a mistake waiting on God. There would be a lot less trips to what we call the barber shop. There would be a lot less words spoken that have little or no value in establishing his kingdom. And for you to walk in his perfect will as it is in heaven. So you'll experience some of that this week, of slowing down and listening and hearing him. Now, whatever voice he's using, you will be able to hear him very clearly as we go through this week. If you slow down. So it's really time to get up or stand up and give two or three more people a hug. And when you hug them this time, slow down. How many of you are here for the very first time? I'd like you to stand, please. For the very first time. Thank you. Now, all of you that have been here, you've seen everybody that stood. Make sure that you welcome them like you were welcome the first time you came. And all of you that are first-timers, you are as much a part of this family as those who have been here every year that we've had a conference. Did you hear me? You are welcome. You are welcome. You are here by divine appointment. You're not here by accident. And by the end of the week, you'll be able to believe what I just said, that you really are here for a divine appointment. I happen to have a pre-conference meeting with some of the voices that you'll hear this week. And I turned to one of the gentlemen, and I said, "Do you have anything for the conference?" "No." "No." Turn to the next one. "No." "No." Turn to the next one. "No." "No." Turn to Dave. "No." Because everyone in that room at that particular time have become a servant to the Father's will. And he chooses almost most of the time, as you probably have found out, that he doesn't share a lot of the future with you in detail. Okay? Because then you would no longer have to walk in trust. You could no longer have to walk in reliance on him. You could become a self-motivated individual. So he likes surprises. When I looked at my computer this morning at whatever time it was, I had a dream sent to me. To me, a dream is a three-dimensional word of either wisdom, knowledge, or prophecy. We used to ignore them because we never really understood how to receive the interpretation of them, because our soul was in such control that it was put there in your spirit. And when you wake up, you're thinking of the first cup of coffee or something, and you don't slow down enough to receive the interpretation of the dream. So you go and look for a dream interpreter. And the dream interpreter is the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going against seeking a multitude of counselors to establish my ways, make good plans, win wars. I'm not ignoring that there are gifts within the body that can give you the interpretation. But his first choice is for you to have a level of fellowship with him that he gives you the interpretation, because he gave it to you personally, and he didn't give it to you for you to not understand what he's just given. The Father, even though he sits outside of time, to me, he took time to give you that dream for us. So don't withhold it. Don't allow who you think you are to not share it. You know that the Lord Jesus never one time did he deny who he was. And it's past time, but it truly is time for each one of us to no longer deny who we are, not only corporately, and not only as a son and a daughter and sitting in heavenly places, but your individual gift. You will hear much. We've heard much. We need to hear more and more about how valuable each one of you are. And you are much more valuable than you think you are. I would open a service singing or Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, or The Bible Tells Me So, to try to get us back to children. Do you know that almost no men would sing that song? We would sing it, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, and we'd grab hands and we would sing, Jesus Loves You, This I Know. The volume of the participation would go like this, because the individual realized that Jesus loved you, but they didn't realize that Jesus loved them just as much. And then when we began to sing, Jesus Loves Them, which is your enemies, it would go quiet, but it wouldn't go quiet as an absence of a voice. It would go quiet as a spirit of asking for forgiveness, because we had not already forgiven them. And we knew very clearly that to walk in fellowship, real fellowship with him, there had to be at least that heart desire to forgive, for him to take his strength and give you the forgiveness for them. So with that in mind, we have a confession that we do, and if you'll just repeat after me. Now, Father, in preparation, I forgive every person their trespasses against me. Father, forgive me of all my trespasses against you. I am freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb in order that my record in heaven be perfect. Therefore I say, because of the blood, what Jesus did for me, according to my record in heaven, I have never failed God. Do you believe it? That's the blood. That's your salvation. I have an empty chair here, and I'd like somebody to come up and sit in it. Whoever wants to. Take your shoes off. I'm going to kneel down and pretend that I'm washing his feet. But what the Lord has said is he wants to wash your feet with the word this week. Did you hear that? That it's the word that is going to wash you. If you remember that, you'll really have a great conference. Before I read several things the Lord has said, there are two handouts that... there's two. One is a document that is created out of a part of the ministry that's called One Voice Praying. This particular document is how we are praying for the upcoming election in the United States. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. There is no land healing available without your prayers. The visions that have come forth, the prophecies that have come forth, when they will take place, and if they take place, will be based on our prayer life, the body of Christ, not just this family. The next one was something that Gary mentioned at the 8:30 service yesterday morning. And he called it In Him Confessions. I don't believe that I'm, Gary can correct me. Do you know that Gary has no problem in telling you the truth? So be careful the questions you ask him if you don't want the truth. He's brought correction into my life probably many more times than he knows, but two specifically that totally changed my life, and they were questions and they were correction, but the amount of love that came with it, really the amount of grace that came with it, I was able to receive it. This document, In Him Confessions, Let me ask this question first. How many of you have never read any of Gary's face-to-face communions with the Lord? You've never read them, never seen them. Let me see your hands. Higher, face-to-face. Okay. Out on Gary's website. Nice thing about this is everything's free, so you can't tell me that I'm selling, nor am I going to receive an offering. Gary's face-to-face communions was a period of time that he entered into the prayer closet, like we all do, or you all do, okay, and the Lord began to speak to him, and he talked about face-to-face. I thought that they're the best things that he's ever done, etc., etc., etc. But this document, in him's confession, the Lord told Gary that this document, would be his legacy. Did I tell the truth? That document. He's never said that about his teachings. how can you find better? I'm sure there's equal. But that document, he placed higher. So when he mentioned it yesterday morning, I knew that I had to put my 2 cents in. For you know the importance of it. Because in some cases, it's just another document. It's just another word. It's just another, just another, just another. Okay. Let me see my notes. Now I'm going to read a few things. I'm not a great reader. I'm a worse speller. But based on things like this, I'm becoming better and better. There are currently, no one knows the exact number, there are currently 7 billion people on the face of this earth. 7 billion. Out of the 7 billion, why did he allow you to be here? Would you like me just to put the mic down before you stone me? To whom much is given, much is required. But out of 7 billion, you're here. And this is not the only place that you're here. There are other places like the prayer center. There are other ministers. There are other families that are doing the same message, that are walking the same path. But you happen to be here out of 7 billion people. It's awfully quiet. Eat my word. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost in something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. He is the Word. With my own arm, I gathered you unto myself. and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for those words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does to the blood. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. In this prophecy, he elevated for your thinking, if you were thinking different than this, that he has elevated the personal words that you've received equal to his written word. We have a saying around here, do you have your blueprint? When I go to hire people, I ask them for their blueprint. And it's amazing. The number of words that have been given that the Father took the time to give that have been put away somewhere and ignored or forgotten. And in most cases, the counseling that is being done would have never had to be done if they would have taken the word and made them as precious as their daily food. I don't know how long I've known Dave, and I don't know how long I've known Gary. I no longer think about that. As to how long it's been. But I want you to know, I could put other names there, but because they're the longest, they have never lied to me one time. Not in the soul realm, and certainly not in the spirit. Never one time, 20 years. Never once have they have never lied, nor have they ever given me a word from their soul. And for those words that you've already received, I more than highly recommend that you dig them out. And by those you will fight a good war. You know the scriptures. Do you know how precious your use of my word is? It is as tenderly intimate to me as your time of expressing your heart to me in worship. He placed it equal to all praise and worship. The foundation of all relationship is truth, and my word is truth. I consider it a time of intimacy when you speak truthfully about yourself to me through the speaking of my words. It is my delight. You ever wonder how you can bring pleasure to the Lord? I've asked that question to a few. Do you know how you bring pleasure to him? I won't ask you, because I don't want the same response from you that I got from them. But the Lord wants that level of an intimacy with you. You can tell him how much pleasure he brings to you. But Lord, how much pleasure do I bring to you? For you that, I wasn't going to say this, for you that love donuts, an individual showed up at the store this morning where we bring in the 10 or 12 dozen of donuts. And the individual that was responsible within the facility to prepare the order for someone to pick up, the order was put in that they only needed 10 donuts, not 10 dozen. I could have brought them here and probably received the largest offering that we will receive all week. But that brought the Lord pleasure, that individual was being faithful to go pick him up, not get mad at the establishment, walk in love, tell him to be at peace, take it easy, everything will be fine. You know, the world hasn't come to an end. Everything will be good. And they didn't know that particular individual was really at that moment the Lord Jesus bringing peace to them. And that brought the Lord pleasure. You've already, every one of you, have already brought him pleasure this morning. You really have. It would be nice that once again we slow down and redeem the time and say, Lord, how do I bring you pleasure? Because if you could hear him, guaranteed, you would do it more often. Because that's what your whole life is about, is him, right? Okay. The first meeting of the prayer center was March the 2nd, 1989. And we call it an endurance prophecy that was brought forth. I'm going to read it. But before I do, believe me when I say that the prophecy was not to a building, nor was it to the residents of that building when we were here. I would call this an inheritance prophecy, and you probably have all received inheritance prophecy for your own life, but this was an inheritance prophecy to the body, to you, as you were there. When you have done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore, says the Spirit of grace, for truly I desire to shake this place with my power. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And again I would say, when you have done all that you know to do, stand. Stand, therefore. Many, many of you had to stand to get here. But you stood. When there is an increase of the anointing or the increase of the Spirit, and he is bringing everyone as a family to a new level, do you think that the enemy steps back away and is scared and sits down and does nothing? No, he still has some things in reserve And he must increase. He must. That's all he does. I mean, all he does is kill, steal, and destroy. Well, he lies. He lies about his ability to kill, steal, and destroy you. But that's all he does. And he increases that warfare. But he is defeated, 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 if we stand. The key word shall be endurance, says the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desire well in this place. I will train you about the snares and the traps of the enemy, and if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. I desire to pour my miracles out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this phase, the first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourselves up and be strong on my behalf, for I will show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity. They will last. I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward, for many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, says the Spirit of grace. I will work mightily, mightily miracles before this is done. You will not lose your place, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. Heed what the Spirit would say, for something new I begin this day. Great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in my love, and I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me. It is a place you have known about, way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundation of the world I've prepared for you. To him it's a finished work. As I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you will edify, edify, and edify yourself, you will see before this is through that I will purge from you everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. Oh, for edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, so that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be set free. Satan is furious, says the Spirit of grace. He already is mad and is stirring up the demons as a whirlwind against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me, and when the storms come, you will be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me, so be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel that is in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there are many matters of wisdom that I desire for you to understand. I will teach you.
I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the thing between what I desire and what is now taking place is being poured out every hour. Many people come to this city for training, you see. And oh, I desire to give them full training that they may live in my power. So know this, all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. I will bring you into a place with me. Yes, I will bring you into a place with me. Do you fit into that? Amen. Boy. This word came forth about a week before you all arrived here. So this word is more for you this week. This is more what his heart is, what his mind is for this week. For this week. My love is coming, and I'm going to reach into places of unbelief that have been surrendered to me, but are not yet seeing like I see. His love has always been here, but it's coming. You ever ask the Lord, how can I be in Christ and you're there and I'm here and you're there and you're here and you placed me in you? I can be at both places at the same time in the Spirit, because he can be. I won't go into that teaching, but can you imagine you're in Christ? I mean, he puts you in there. So when the Father looks at you, what does he see? You. He sees Christ. Okay. My love brings peace, healing, and much strength in me, and will greatly increase your confidence in me and who you are in me. I am the one who loves you, and my love is abounding. There are places in me that are being reached for, and this is enabling me to come with much love, much peace, and much healing, and the result will be a new walk of strength in me. You will see things like I see, and you will be different indeed. In this next wave of love, there will be much restoration and healing, for this is central to what you are entering into in me. You will taste and see that I am good. And the result will be a greater understanding of my love and the life you have in me. Not only will these things be understood to a greater degree, but your daily walk will reflect these things. Position yourself for more of me. Position yourself for more love, for I bring these things freely to all who will receive. Great change is what I bring for those who will receive. Stay strong on the path of fellowship with me and the truth that brings and opens your heart wide to receive. Great will be the change my love brings. Open your hearts wide to receive. As you draw near to me, I will be there waiting joyfully, expectantly, treasuring every moment you give me. For I see what you do not see yet, and I see what you are entering into in me. Great will be the change I bring for the hearts who are reaching for me. I will be removing things I have been uprooting, and great will be the restoration and peace I bring. The love you find in me will far outweigh anything the enemy brings to resist these things, and you're standing in me, and your joy in me will carry you past your enemy. You are established in me, and I am your victory in all things. Get ready to receive what I bring. Let your hearts be expectant and strong in your fellowship with me, and together we will see great things. Great will be the increase of joy and strength in this next place in me. Open your hearts wide to receive much from me. Receive, receive, receive. For great will be the change in this next place in me. It will not be without resistance from the enemy, but I have already made a way for your victory. I have already made a way for you to be able to receive. So prepare yourself, prepare your hearts, and receive, and receive, and receive. This week, become great receivers. Great receivers. One of the things in preparation for the meeting, or for this conference, Alan was one of those. Well, I better not say that because I'm going to have to hand him the mic, right? I already started. Alan was one of those individuals that I looked at and I said, do you have anything for the conference? And he said, no, really don't. Okay, but that doesn't mean that he's not totally full. But Alan brought forth a message maybe two Wednesdays ago, Gary, or sometime. And he began to talk about his experience when he entered into private praise and worship. And I sat there and saying, why am I the only one that gets to hear this? I felt so privileged. All of the feelings that I had, that I knew someone and was a friend, and he had walked into a place of private worship that the Lord was able to bring to him a vision. Now, there's been others, but I brought it up, and Gary was sitting in the Amen corner that morning. He said, yes, yes. So, I will let you begin.
Good morning. When I was in the room with my son in his bedroom one night, he said, he's about four, I think, four or five. He said, Daddy, is God in heaven? And I've been trying my best to teach him, you know, the right answers, not just the typical answers. But I get in trouble sometimes because I... You know, he's young still. He's seven now, but he was four or five. And Harrison said, Daddy, is God in heaven? I said, well, son, he is, but he's not just in heaven. He's here with you all the time. He's everywhere at the same time. And I explained to him, I said, God, that's where he is, but he's everywhere. And he looked at me, his eyes got real wide, and he said, right here in my bedroom. See, yes, son. But see, that conversation changed the way I viewed my worship. Because for years, I'd say, as a preacher, I'd say, now let's lift our hands up towards heaven and look up towards heaven as you worship God. See, he's not just in heaven. He's right here. He's right here in front of you right now. You don't need to look up to heaven. You just need to whisper because his ear is right there to your mouth. He's right here. So when I first started to break into private worship, I took some time and I started to worship God. And I did what we were taught. I grabbed my mind and brought it back. And I had a big struggle with that, trying to keep my mind focused on worship. But I was obedient. I'd capture it and bring it back and capture it and bring it back. And in this one session, this one time where I was just worshiping God, I hadn't felt much, hadn't felt, you know, any experience or anything. But as I was worshiping, about 2 hours into it, I said, I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you. I worship you. I love you. And when I said, I love you this time, I heard his voice. And he said, I love you more. And he meant it. You know, some people don't mean that, but he meant it. And I got excited. I felt, he didn't just say it. I felt his love. I was filled by his love in that moment. And I got excited. So I went on, I worship you. I glorify you. I magnify you. And every time I said, I love you, I would hear him say, I love you more. And it was a bathing in his love as he said that to me. And I couldn't make him leave. I just kept, I love you, I love you more. I love you, I love you more. Well, I left that time, and the first thing that came to me was God came from heaven and kissed me. But then I knew Pastor Dave would be put me in trouble for saying that I moved God, you know. So that wasn't right. So the second thing I thought was, I must have reached through the heavens and kissed God. And the Lord gave me an image or a vision to show me what happened. And what I saw was, I was standing over here and I was worshiping God. And I saw myself worshiping God. And then there was this wall of flesh. Right here, just like a thick wall of fatty flesh with, I'm just telling you what it looked like, with little hair and little pimples and bounce back. It's a big wall of flesh. And on the other side of the wall was me. And I was in here. When I lifted up my hands here, I would lift my hands out there. And when I said, I worship you, this me in here said, I worship you. When I said, I love you, I said, I love you. And see, I had thought that I had experienced something when I was worshiping. I had got to a place or moved something or did something that brought a moment with God, just for that moment. But what the Lord showed me was, as I stood on this side of the flesh, when I lift up my hands, my inner man was lifting up his hands. Actually, the right definition is the inner man was me. But the way I viewed myself was from my natural mind. See, I was looking at my world, my life, from my natural brain. But my inner man, me, but you know, the thing was, God was in there the whole time. And when I said, I worship you, he was there. The moment I started to worship God, he was there with me. The thing was, I didn't hear him. What happened during that time of worship, where I had moved close enough to my flesh to actually hear the conversation that was going on the whole time with my inner man and my Father. It wasn't just that one brief moment. It was the entire time. The moment I asked into his presence, that's the moment my Father was fellowshipping with me. And even though I didn't sense it or feel it, I just got a glimpse of it the whole time I worshiped God. He was there. And I think the encouragement we want from this is, doesn't matter what you bring in today or how you feel about yourself or how you feel like you struggled or failed or you're not qualified, none of that matters. Because outside of this wall of flesh isn't who you are. The moment we lift up our hands at any moment of the day and say, I love you, He's right there fellowshipping with you. Pastor Dave says in a way that you're suspending your spirit in the presence of God. The moment we worship, He's there fellowshipping with you. Amen.